previewing WWE Battleground. For those of you that know me, you know I'm a big wrestling fan, and I haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to talk wrestling in the first couple shows here. So it was pretty cool to get together with my nephew, my godson, my young Padawan, to talk wrestling, to preview Battleground. I mean, there's tons of wrestling podcasts out there. So you can go listen to all those too. They're great. They're fine. But just listen to mine and listen to Massimo and I wax poetic about the Money in the Bank potential in this pay-per-view. Talk about the women's division matchups and talk about obviously the whole card and how we're really looking forward to AJ and Kevin Owens hopefully stealing the show, hopefully WWE giving them a chance to steal the show. And we'll also get into a little bit of the prospects on Raw. So if you guys like wrestling, if you guys like me, and if you guys like Massimo, for those of you that know him, enjoy the show. All right, let's do this. All right, making his Salmena show debut, wrestling aficionado and nephew and godson, Massimo Mena. Massimo, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're sitting here in the crib, sitting here chilling, and if you guys hear background noise, we have the entire family downstairs. We have cousins going back home to Italy on Saturday. We're recording this on Thursday, so we're all saying bye. We did our cliche bring your foreigner to Niagara Falls trip and your bring your foreigner to New York trip, and it was a good time. So let's get started here. I mean, let's talk about you for a second. You're super into wrestling, and it warms my heart. It warms me to my core that I have somebody that I can talk about wrestling, because your dad, my brother, not into it.
Yeah.
And I'm into it, and you're into it, and right. I get somebody to talk to. When did you get into it?
I actually remember it a couple years ago. I think it might have been 2014. I was just flipping through channels because I was home from school Monday, home from school, finished homework. Thought I'd, you know, look around, and it was actually kind of funny. It was a Raw, and it was guest starring Hugh Jackman, and I thought, you know, well, shoot, Wolverine, we might as well just put it on.
One of the best eras of WWE, the guest host era, gave us such greats as Bob Barker and the Jericho angle, and then the Hugh Jackman, which actually, he got involved, which was sweet, and they also had Steve Amell, the guy from
Arrow.
From Arrow, which was sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I put it on, and...
So it was the night Batista quit?
Yeah, I remember the Raw. It was the night Batista quit. It was when Kane and Daniel Bryan had that big feud going on where he had tombstoned him on the stairs a couple times, really messed up his neck. And, and I remember thinking, because, you know, I never watched it before, and I was younger, and I remember thinking, like, wow, is... He must really be a demon or something, because no one does that. But, I think if it wasn't that night, it was the next week on Monday Night Raw when Seth Rollins dismantled the Shield.
Oh, and they broke up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, well, I mean...
So fairly recent. I mean, nothing going back to the Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior days, Hulkamania era, like I go back to. But you've done your homework. You kind of know what's up with that. So that's good. So we're on the heels of Battleground coming up on Sunday, and coming off of a couple weeks ago, we had what I think is probably the best pay-per-view of the year so far. Great, great, great Balls of Fire. Yeah. The worst named one, but it was a really good card. Any thoughts you have on Great Balls of Fire? How that went?
No, I think I was a little bummed out with the Lesnar Samoa Joe match, just the results at the end, because I really wanted Joe to win it, because I feel like, I mean, a defending champion would be something cool to see every week, you know, just to get the title moving around again. But I mean,
I think WWE's reached a point too where, and if you look, I think something was out there today on, I can't remember if it was Bleacher Report or USA Today, that Lesnar is in negotiations to go back to UFC. Which I think wouldn't be a good decision on his part.
No.
But the Universal title, since it got on Lesnar, you could almost say, since it was on Goldberg, that it's kind of been a minor deal for Raw, and you've got 3 hours to fill on Raw, and the Universal title's kind of an afterthought until such the great positive reaction that the fans are having with Samoa Joe. And, you know, everybody knows his story, and the match itself, to me, was a great match. I thought Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe had a really good match on Monday, and then Braun Strowman came in and ran in, which that guy, WWE can't mess this guy up. He's really good, too, for a big guy like that.
He is.
You know, he's got that Vince McMahon look, and the crowd loves him. They pop for him when he comes out, and he works as a heel, but you know, it's going to happen where the fans are going to turn him face. But the thing with the Joe and Lesnar match, what I think is, I think it might have been too soon to put it on Joe with his first defense. And you're obviously now you're setting up the fatal four way coming up in the next Raw pay-per-view, where you're going to have, you know, Lesnar and Joe and Reigns and Strowman, and you're going to have all these big guys where you're maybe going to have Lesnar drop the belt. And you're going to give him an out because it won't be a clean loss on him. It'll still elevate him and keep him looking good and taking the title off of him, where you might get your hopes that you're going to see the belt every week.
Right. That match, it'll be interesting because, I mean, they're all powerhouses, really. It'll just be a lot around. And
I think if you look at it, I don't think Roman Reigns gets enough credit. I mean, the guy's a good worker, but I definitely think that Joe's going to carry that match. Because he's very athletic, he's definitely a good worker. But Joe's going to carry that match, and everybody's going to get their spots, of course. I have a hard time thinking that they don't put it on Braun Strowman. I think they put it on Braun Strowman. It's easy to say, and I don't know how much more invested Triple H and Vince McMahon are in Roman Reigns and trying to get him over with the fans, but. You know, the Smark fans just aren't buying it, even though he's a good worker. And I think right now, if you put it on Braun Strowman, that creates a lot of good possibilities, too.
Yeah, I feel like Roman Reigns has had too many chances. I think they got to drop it for a little while. They give him too many chances. He's always in a title run or something.
But then what do you do with him? Do you bring him down to the IC against, you know, Miz or, you know, whoever's going to be holding it at that point? I don't know that he feuds well with Miz. And it looks like they're actually kind of teasing a Shield reunion too, with Ambrose and Rollins going after the Miztourage. So it's kind of funny to see what they might do with that. But I can't see Reigns out of the title hunt. What I do see him is, you know, maybe dropping down and then trying to fight his way back up. If they're going to build it to say WrestleMania, and they're going to try to tell the story of, you know, Roman Reigns lost his chance and he spent, you know, the entire summer and the winter building himself back up, and maybe he's main eventing Mania next year for a title shot. But as an Intercontinental Champion challenge or without a, you know, significant feud like that, I don't know that Roman Reigns works.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if he's not in, you can't really, I mean, because he's just, his ego and how big he is and, you know, just the type of competitor he is. You can't really put him nowhere else. You make a good point there.
So what I think also, too, is I don't know that I want to see The Miz without the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
To me, I think The Miz is one of the best performers all around. I mean, his ring work has improved a lot over the last 2-3 years. He's become a really good worker, and his mic skills are excellent, and he, you know, he says it, I've elevated this title to the most elite status,
right?
And he really has.
I mean
he defends it all the time, and he comes out on top, and he wins it back when he loses. So the WWE believes in him, and you know, he's a good face to put out there for sure. So I don't blame the Miz and the WWE for keeping that on him. And there's another little subplot too, where he's getting close to Jericho's record of 9 Intercontinental title reigns. I think The Miz is at 7, if I'm not correct. Maybe 6 or 7. So maybe they could have him drop and then get it close to that. But, you know, title reigns, speaking of title reigns, let's get into Battleground. Let's we could go match by match, but every other wrestling podcast does that. We talk about record title reigns. Right now, John Cena is feuding with Rusev because we've never seen that before. And you've got Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal. I think the WWE, in all their wisdom, they're a little late again. I think they really want us to love America. For them to run two angles of you need to love America, you need to not like this Rusev, and you need to not like Jinder Mahal. The problem is the fans don't like Jinder Mahal, not because he's from India or the color of his skin or the way that he talks. It's because a lot of them feel that he doesn't deserve his shot. But in doing that, they're going to be rooting for Randy Orton, a guy who has multiple shots, and they're trying to get that wave. Well, now you've got a returning John Cena, the free agent John Cena, so let's not forget that, where that little thing is hanging out there still, too, who's going to have a flag match with Rusev. Massimo, I have to ask you, do you love America?
Yeah.
Do you love America?
Yeah.
Does WWE make you love America? I love America.
I mean, I guess I like it whether WWE or not. I mean, what a...
It's funny to me, but, I mean, of course, that's going to get the fans to react. And whether what they're doing with John Cena right now is if they're giving, showing him against this monster, this beast, and they're almost building him as a, especially after a Tuesday show where you saw at the end of the show the American flag was on the ground, John Cena was on the ground, and Rusev's walking up the ramp with his Bulgarian flag, and they're building up Super Cena and Underdog Cena, and if they're gonna get him going to SmackDown in the title hunt, that's a good way to do it. They're booking it the right way. Obviously, he has familiarity with Rusev, but I wonder what happens to Rusev if Cena's going over at Battleground. What happens to Rusev?
I mean, yeah, he's really dying off, like from where he was. I'm not sure, really.
I think splitting him and Lana might have hurt him, but I like this, the aggression. But again, the same thing, you're hearing the same thing from Rusev as you are from Jinder Mahal, that, my country's better. We show our strength and we march in the streets. And Jinder Mahal talk about, the millions of people that are in India and, everybody loves me and I'm their hero. It doesn't show originality. I kind of wish that it was based on a different angle, one of these two matches. Now, I'm intrigued by the Punjabi match, and especially what the Singh brothers are going to bring. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, because the last time we saw that match was 10 years ago, and it was...
Yeah, it was...
It was, what's his, Great Khali?
The Great Khali.
And that guy couldn't move. At least Mahal, he looks good in the ring. He's a decent worker. He's getting better. So it's gonna be fun to see these two guys work in that match.
Yeah, I was a little, I don't want to say confused, but around that when Jinder Mahal where did he come from? He made his return, got kicked around a couple matches, and then boom, came out for a tight. They were talking about title shots and who deserves of this.
Right.
And you hear his music and you're like, you lost.
So for him to get over, I remember in that Battle Royal, the match that they had to determine the number one contender, it was something to see for him to have gotten the number one contendership. Smart, because they knew they were going to get a reaction. WWE knew they were going to get a reaction from Jinder Mahal. And, whether the fans are happy for him or they hate it, I mean, you hear that the majority of it, they hate it.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it. He's good on the mic. He looks good. He's a body guy. He looks good. And I don't mind it. And, some of the prevailing theories are, WWE starting to break into India, so why not have their champion? And remember, this isn't the Universal title, the red belt. This is the WWE title.
Right, this is the
title.
Championship,
so,
yeah.
So, you get that title on this guy in front of all his countrymen and women. That's smart marketing for sure, but... and I don't think it's done much to hurt the product here, because I'm definitely watching it. When he's on... His entrance is cool. He's got the Singh brothers that kind of help him out and, draw attention to him as well. And then, of course, with the Singh brothers and Randy Orton, one of my favorite moments ever of wrestling was when Randy Orton flipped one of them into the announcer's table and realized he overflipped him.
Yeah, when he made the face, and that video always
Orton realized he messed up. He went a little hard, and that was good. I loved seeing that, and I could watch that meme. I could watch that that clip all day long. So is Randy getting it?
I don't know, because I can't tell what they're building more, him. Because what would they do if he won it?
Well, if Randy Orton wins, there's no way that you book Cena and Orton again.
Yeah.
You can't.
I've seen it too many times.
And you've only been watching since 2014.
Right.
A guy like me, that these guys have been in it for 15 years and they feuded 9-10 times.
Yeah, I know.
So it's interesting, if John Cena beats Rusev in the flag match and he's, you know, Mr. America, and I defended our honor, and now I've got to get the title back from Jinder Mahal, and get it back into American hands. Does WWE keep going at this angle? You know, does Jinder Mahal come out on top and tell everybody, you know, I conquered Randy Orton, I am the true world champion, and, you know, there's nobody that can beat me. There's no American that, you know, can go against me. And then, of course, John Cena would come out on stage and say, well, son, you've never been in the ring with me.
Right. And that's exactly how I'll say it, too.
And I have a feeling, and the promos that Cena will cut, the pro-America, you know, we love our country, I bleed for this company, and, you know, all of that, and all the promos we've heard before from him, it's just going to ring harder because, you know, it'll be followed with USA, USA chants.
Mm-hmm. I know. So, yeah, I feel like, that'd be a good way to go. I think back on the Rusev-Cena match, we were talking about it earlier. What Rusev would do if he loses and, like, if he kind of fades off. I understand, all right, he's a foreigner and, you know, he's proud of it. But I feel like if he kind of, you know, maybe got, not, I don't want to say get out of that stage, but kind of, because I feel like that's, because of what he has going on for him, that's what he'll only be able to do if, you know, he can only come out and say how great another country is.
Well, that's, you know, that's the style that they have. When they have that, they're going to push that. And especially with a bigger guy, because if you look at the 205 Live, the cruiserweights, you know, Neville's the champion, but he's not going around talking about how great his country is.
Right.
And, you know, Gallagher for a while was the number one contender, and he wasn't going around talking about how great his country was. So the WWE is capable of pushing Sheamus. Sheamus isn't going around, and, you know, they're tag champs right now, him and Cesaro.
Yeah.
And they're not talking about how great Switzerland or, you know, the Celtic Warrior is and everything, so... with Rusev, somebody like that, if he feuds with the right person, I also think Rusev might be better suited on Raw, unless he goes and feuds with somebody with his kind of style, which, I might have an idea. We'll get into it later, Nakamura, but, you know, there is opportunity for him to showcase his talents because he's a good performer as well.
He is. He's very and athletic he's got, for a big guy.
Yeah, he really is. I think Cena goes over. Obviously, this is his first match back in a while. And I don't think the moneymaker is going to lose on this one. And if I may make a SummerSlam prediction, I do think that's the road that they're going to go down. Is they're going to have Cena, you know, beat Bulgaria and then make his way to go beat India and reclaim the world title for America. But that, you know, that... To me, that's the easy booking, but I never get any of these predictions right, and who knows what'll happen.
Yeah, but we've seen Rusev and Cena many times, so it can always differ on who wins, but I think Cena will come out on top for that match.
Yeah, I think the easy thing to do is, you know, he'll be motivated to, you know, pick American flag back up, like we said, we saw him laying down at the end of SmackDown on Tuesday, and... got to get America back. We gotta go for America, and at least one American will win, I think, on Battleground. Speaking of America, AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. title.
Ah,
that. I am so excited for this match. I don't know why I brought this up now and saved it for last, but I thought the segue was good. The face that runs the place versus the new face of America. People have been waiting since they both ended up on SmackDown. They've been waiting for this match. We've had a couple of them. Obviously, the title changed at a house show in Madison Square Garden a couple weeks ago. So there's definitely that intrigue and interest. Are these the two best wrestlers, performers in WWE right now?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, I do. I do entirely. Because you look at Owens, and, you know, you think he's a big guy, you know, but his moves are just insane. He plays everything off correctly. He uses athleticism that you would see like AJ Styles use as a littler guy, but he does it, and it's, and then AJ is just AJ Styles, and that's, you can sum up what you think about that just by that.
I mean, and I love that, you know, this has had a decent build. The show's had a decent build for these guys, and I don't think that this feud ends here. I think that this has some legs. I don't quite think that it'll go to SummerSlam, but you might see a couple more weeks out of it. I think AJ retains. I just think that this you know, it's cliche to say that this is going to be the match of the night. But I think it's going to be the match of the night.
Yeah, and I honestly, no cliche there. Right. I mean, from an honest opinion, this will be a great match.
Well, SmackDown's the better work show. I think Raw's the show. You've got 3 hours. You've got a lot more entertainment time. But this is the workers' quality show. And you've got, again, you know, we talk about Owens and AJ. Kevin Owens, not only is a great in-ring performer, but the way he plays the crowd, you know, his in-ring storytelling, that the guy, you know, he's yelling, he's emotional, he's, you know, very, you know, shows that passion very outwardly. And AJ does the same. AJ tells great stories inside too. This match is going to be a really good one. And it's a shame that, well, it's not a shame, because I think it puts more faces in front of screens that they had the title switch at the house shows. Again, smart booking, because people really don't pay attention to house shows, and maybe they're not going to go. Well, you know, there's one coming up at the Joe in a couple weeks, and right. I'm going to go, because you don't know. Maybe they're going to switch a title. Maybe a new angle is going to start, and, you know, it carries over to TV. So
I'd like to go see that,
So that's going to be, you know, that's going to be an incredible match. I definitely think it's going to be filled of, you know, false finishes, and, you know, they're going to be kicking out of finishers and things like that. But AJ comes out on this one. Going back to Orton and Mahal, you got Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin. Corbin, obviously, Money in the Bank holder. Before we start looking at this one, any chance of a cash-in?
I don't think so. Depending on how the Mahal and Orton match will go, I'm not sure. But I don't think he'll do it at this. I'm thinking SummerSlam.
It's coming to SummerSlam. He hasn't teased it yet.
No.
And, you know, pay-per-views, they always try to do something like that. And if they want to sell this match, especially if, you know, they're really beat up at the end, you know, maybe Corbin comes down. But I think if Corbin were to lose to Shinsuke, which I don't know which way you book this, Baron Corbin has nothing to lose if he loses this match. If Nakamura loses, I mean, this is not a good look, because I don't think he's been being used right. I don't think he's been able to perform. They've been allowing him to perform the way that he's capable of performing. Mm-hmm. I love Nakamura. I mean, I love watching him.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the artist, and I think he goes over on Corbin. Like I said, Corbin's got nothing to lose. So then at that point, Corbin will be brooding around the backstage, and, you know, maybe he'll look to cash in. If it's a brutal match between Mahal and Orton, I just think it won't be an official cash in, because the Singh brothers are always going to be involved.
Right.
And if they see him coming down, you know, they're going to get it. You know, they're going to come in, run interference or something. And, you know, he'll still hang on to the briefcase and, live to cash it in another day. But, it's very interesting to see. Because they're both slower workers. You know, obviously the King of Strong Style is gonna, you know, lay it in there, pretty heavy. And Corbin is, you know, he's a monster. He works like a big guy. And it'll be curious to see if Corbin can keep up with Nakamura and his more technical and, you know, the strong style, you know, look that he has. I'm wondering what you think about that.
I agree. I feel that they're not using Baron Corbin. Well, I think he needs to improve on some things. If he could nail down mic skills, and his wrestling is pretty good, but there's always room for improvement. I feel if he could improve a lot of, especially mic skills, he's not very good on the mic. But I feel that...
Well, I think that's another reason why they might have put the briefcase with him.
Yeah.
I think it was a good idea for Corbin to get the briefcase because of exactly what you just said. His mic skills aren't that great. He's not as polished as an sports entertainer as you know, some other guys like Owens would be. So you've given him that prop, and that's gonna get him heat, because as long as you're walking around with that case, then there's always the potential that he's gonna cash it in. So he doesn't have to talk, but if he just shows up, he's got that case in his hand, then he's gonna be able to pop the crowd.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there it is. I don't know. I don't think I could see him as the way things are right now. I don't think I could see him as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Like, I couldn't imagine him with the belt and what they would do with that. So I think they're going to postpone it. I think he's going to wait to cash it in to a later date.
Is this a one-year hold on to the briefcase, or do you think you see something like that, maybe a Survivor Series or...
Yeah, I don't think it's a one-year.
I don't think he's going to cash in by SummerSlam either. But then again, WWE keeps us on our toes.
Right. Remember when Rollins cashed in at WrestleMania?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see it coming, you know. They did not really even build it, you know. That's not what they're doing right now, but it could happen.
So, what also happened on Tuesday, Charlotte and Becky.
That was...
What a match.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've been working together since NXT, but what a match.
I know.
And I was actually, you know, obviously you're going to have the five-way to determine the number one contender. And to have Charlotte and Becky on SmackDown leading up to the pay-per-view was pretty smart, because they gave on a pretty good match, and especially that Becky won, because everybody would have assumed that Charlotte was going to win, because Becky's a company, you know, she's a company girl, and she does a good job of, you know, knowing when to put somebody else over. I think you saw that with Alexa Bliss, and I think you saw that with you know, some of the other performers on SmackDown. You know, so for her to come out, now you've got that, you know, that seed of doubt where everybody might have thought going in, like, you know, Charlotte's gonna win this match, and you know, it's gonna be between her and, you know, Becky or whatever. So now now there's that doubt. You know, Natalia and Tamina and Lana being the other ones involved in that match. Why Lana? Why are they doing this to us?
Right, I was just about to say that. I understand if she wants an in-ring career, she can have it, but they threw her in there way too quick. She should have taken more time to get used, you know, to get used to the reins and all that, and, you know, they should give her not little matches, but, you know, give her matches to where she can improve. I don't think she's ready for a title shot. I don't think she'll do that good in that match.
Well, I think it was interesting that, you know, while her and Rusev were both out, they, you know, on her Instagram, she was all about, you know, showing how she was working out and showing how she was in the ring at the Performance Center, you know, learning how to work the ring. But at the same time, her next post would be a bikini shot or something on the beach. It's like, you know, they all look great. We're past that now. This is no longer the Divas. We're past all that, you know, 1990s, early 2000s, you know, women's wrestling. These guys are all great, great performers. So, to me, I think a lot of people are seeing that like, oh no, are we going back to this? Why is she getting all these shots? You know, and then to team her up with Tamina, which she wasn't really getting a push. So, is Vince looking at that and the creative from SmackDown looking at like, oh, look at Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Let's kind of do something like that at SmackDown.
He might be doing that, but not. He shouldn't.
No, I mean, Alexa, you can't compare Alexa Bliss with Lana.
No, you cannot. Alexa Bliss, she has the looks, the talk, the action, everything. She is like the woman's wrestler, and just Lana, you can't compare them.
No, I know, not at all. But I think what happens is because she worked so hard, I think maybe they're rewarding her and, you know, putting her into this. And, you know, I don't think it was a huge surprise that Carmella won Money in the Bank. Would it be a huge surprise if Lana did win this somehow through some devious way, through some schmoz at the end of the match where somehow, some way, Tamina does the work or Natalya does the work and then Lana comes in for the pin? Would it surprise you? And are you, and if that happens, are you not tired of seeing...
sneaky.
Well, not that. I'm tired. You know, that would be smart. I think that would be a pretty predictable,
yeah,
but maybe a smart way to help her, you know, get along and get over in the women's division. But I'm tired of seeing Naomi and Lana too.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do there. I mean, it's...
And why not have another women's match on this card? I mean, the card itself seems pretty loaded. You know, short of us not even touching on the Sami Zayn and Mike Kanellis or the, you know, the tag match yet, why not have a title match? Have this be a fatal four-way for the number one contendership and have one of these four girls go up against Naomi? Because then at that point, you've also got Carmella. Is she going to come in? Is she going to come cash in?
That's what I was going to say. The reason that they don't have another one is because there's all the women right there, all five, and then Carmella's somewhere else, and then Naomi's champ. That's why they didn't have another one. But you make a good point. They'd made that a fatal four-way and taken, like, I think Charlotte would have been the best one to take out of that. Either Charlotte or Becky, really.
I think, if you remember, Naomi gave the interview in the back, and she had said, "I'll be the first one out to the ring to congratulate whoever wins." So if there's a tease for the Money in the Bank, I don't think it'll come from Corbin, unless it happens how we, you know, talked about earlier. Yeah. But I think there's more of a chance where when Naomi does come down, maybe Carmella comes out and teases it or even tries to cash in. You know, to me, again, I think it might be too soon for her. That's another great prop for her to have. I thought the Money in the Bank results were the right results for Corbin and for Carmella, but especially for Carmella to have it, because she kind of was like the lost one in the division, and now with the Money in the Bank, so maybe that's how they can get her onto the pay per view as well, mm-hmm. and maybe that's why they didn't book anything else. I'd like to see Becky Lynch. I've always been a Becky Lynch fan. I'd like to see her come out, but I also think you need to think about who's going to work best with Naomi. And I think Natalya is been in it for a long time. She's, you know, from the Heart Dungeon, the only female graduate from the Heart Dungeon. And,
yeah.
You know, if I had a sleeper pick, I would look at Natalya and Naomi, which would be a nice little feud. I'm going to say Natalya.
You think she'll win the match?
I'm going to say Natalya.
I mean... That would be. I would not be surprised. Now thinking about it, it would be surprising, but no one would be surprised. It would just be one of those moments, like, you know, I saw it coming, but I didn't. Like, cause how you said, I feel them too. They have kind of, I don't want to say, well, yeah, they have kind of, you know, similar move sets, really. Everything they do.
Natalya and Naomi?
Yeah.
I think Naomi's a little more athletic, and Natalya, you know, Natalya's got, she's more technical, obviously, you know, being, you know, Bret Hart and Jim Daniel, Neidhart, and Owen, right. And, you know, coming from the, you know, the Canadian, you know, pedigree that she has. But I also think Natalya will be able to protect Naomi. I mean, she's a good performer too, but Natalya will be able to protect some, you know, flaws that she might have. And if Natalya ends up winning, you know, then you get your Charlotte or Becky that's going to come up and, you know, come after that.
Yeah. But by similar, I mean, like, going back to that, I mean, Charlotte, I don't know about her and Naomi in a match because they're really different. They're both athletic, But there's something about Charlotte that I just don't see.
I think Charlotte's one of the best performers in the WWE period, SmackDown or Raw. Oh, yeah,
totally.
Man or woman. I think she's terrific.
She is. But,
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go with Natalya. Who do you go with?
I'm going to go with... I'd have to say... I think Becky.
You think Becky?
I think, yeah.
So coming off of her win on Tuesday, you think she's going to carry it in and go from there?
Because I think, problem is, I always look at Tamina because she is, I mean, she's, I don't want to say a guy, but that's, I mean, that's what she is. She's big, she's built, and she's strong. But they don't use her correctly. But I feel that if they used her right, that she could win, I mean, she could win that match. And she could go on and win the championship, but they won't do that with Tamina. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Becky.
I see that on Raw. I think Nia's a better wrestler than Tamina. And if they were to do that with somebody of a similar build, I see that more with Nia Jax. And then there's another story there, too, where she turns on Alexa, who's her best friend. And,
right.
You know, yeah. These, you know, they're best friends in real life, too. So, they would probably put on a good match. Yeah, I'm going with Natalya. You're going with Becky Lynch. It's kind of weird how we broke this down, but it's okay. New Day and the Usos. Do you feel any passion? Do you feel strongly one way or the other about this match?
Honestly, not really. I think that it'll be a good match because the Usos, you know, now they're... With the whole heel thing they got going, and they're more, not brutal, but like, you know, they're more, you know, I don't know how to say it, not ghetto.
More aggressive?
Yeah, aggressive, there you go. They're more aggressive with their moves.
Went from ghetto to aggressive, okay.
Know what I mean.
I think with the New Day, we're so used to seeing them on top, and this was kind of a weird build to this. I know that they've been building it for a while, but the match itself will be fine. I mean, they'll be fine, but it's hard to say who, because if you look at the rest of the tag team division, now with, you know, Gable, with Jordan being on Raw, Kurt Angle's kid, you know, Gable's going to be a singles wrestler. What other tag teams are there other than these two guys? You know, to me, a fun feud would be the New Day and the Fashion Police. I think, those are fun segments right now with Fandango and Tyler Breeze right now. That would be a fun feud, but who plays the heel in that?
That's what I was just about to say. They're both faces, right. So I mean, who are you gonna? You can't.
Right.
I feel they would have to somehow turn.
So is this where we see New Day break up?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I think New Day's got some more juice left in them. I think that New Day will win.
So New Day's going to win the belt.
I think so. Okay. I think if they have Big E and Kofi, you know,
well, Xavier Woods he had a good match 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you know, he had a good match. But yeah, you're going to go Xavier and Kofi. You're going to go Big E and Kofi against Jimmy and Jay. Just to be different, I'm going to say the Usos keep it. And I think that they go on. Well, that's another fun story too with the Fashion Police. It's supposed to be revealed who's been, you know, messing with them. So I don't think it's the Usos, but who's next in line? We're going to have to find out. And is it better? I mean, I'll ask you, who would do a better job in starting a new feud, the New Day or the Usos?
With
anybody. A new feud, who's better at starting a new feud?
I think the New Day, because people will start going at them. The Usos, they might go at other people, but I feel if the New Day wins, they'll come on and be like, you know.
So it'll be a heel tag team.
No, they'll be... A heel tag team will go...
I'm saying we'll go after them.
Yeah. You know, they'll come out and they'll be all excited, celebration, just won the championship, you know, talking with their great mic skills, and then a heel team will just come out, you know, just knock it off, all right? You know, or just something like that that will start it going, yeah.
Of course, after the contractually obligated, you know, rematch, if the Usos, as, you know, champions are granted in their in their contract. Another match I'm looking forward, and we won't spend too much time on this, Sami Zayn and Mike Kanellis. And, you know, Kanellis, Mike Kanellis is going to win. You know, Sami Zayn doesn't lose much if he loses this match. I don't think he's kind of stuck in neutral right now, especially where you got Corbin, Nakamura, AJ, Kevin Owens kind of holding the middle of the card. I don't think Sami Zayn goes, you know, loses too much ground on losing a match like this, and I think you have to have Kanellis win. But Maria, you know, the former employee of WWE coming back, and now, you know, the first lady of SmackDown, and she's actually a lot better this time around than she was before.
I don't have much background on the Kanellises, but from what you make it sound like, I mean, from what I've watched, they're both, I mean, he's a pretty good in-ring performer, and she is...
Well, I think the dynamic that you saw these guys that they had on Tuesday was that Maria's going to be a big part of any program that Kanellis is going to have, and that's fine. That's why she's a good valet, and, you know, you have her, you know, next to him to give him the rub, but... you know, he's gonna benefit from her in matches, and, you know, she's gonna interject herself, and I think something very similar plays out on Sunday where Kanellis is gonna win. So we had Jinder. I got Jinder. You got Jinder, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got the Usos. You got New Day. You got Cena. I got Cena. You got Becky. I got Natalia. We didn't pick the big ones, but I think Nakamura has to win.
Yeah,
I think Nakamura, for where he's at, I think he has to beat Corbin. And Corbin doesn't lose much.
I agree.
AJ and Kevin Owens, I don't think we picked them.
No, we didn't.
I think AJ wins. I think AJ holds. And I think they hang on to this feud for a while.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. And yeah, I'm going with AJ.
All right, any thoughts on Raw? Anything's going on that you want to... I mean, watching that Charlotte and Becky match, it kind of reminds me of the build-up that we're going to see. We're going to see Sasha and Bayley, and we're actually going to see that Monday as a match. And, you know, the four horsewomen getting ready to go at it, you know, against each other, and, you know, they've got their history together. Do you expect a match, Sasha and Bayley, like you did see for Charlotte and Becky?
I don't know quite yet if they're going to have a match, you know, a big match like that. But I definitely do see it in the future.
I mean, they obviously had their big match at NXT TakeOver a couple of years ago, which, you know, won match of the year and was an incredible match between Sasha and Bayley. This is a slow burn to Sasha turning heel. Sasha's got to get the win on Monday, though, I think. You know, Bayley... Bayley, to me, if they need to do something else with her, because she's really starting to lose her luster with the fans. Your cousin's, she's seven, she loves Bayley. So, you know, my daughter, you know, being seven, she loves Bayley. But the fans, I don't think they love her anymore.
Yeah, I won't. Just because they've kind of been doing the same thing with her.
Yeah.
The fans want to see something new.
Yeah.
But since the brand split and all that, you're limited on what you have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like Smack, like when they first did the brand split and SmackDown, they had the same three guys who could compete.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ambrose, AJ, and Cena, because everyone else was on Raw.
Right.
So, you know, that's what we saw until it started to progress. So that's what I think, you know, that's what the women's division, it's just going to stay like that. You're going to have your net, because all the women, you know, think it or not, are great performers. Mm-hmm. Each woman in the WWE right now.
Yeah.
And each brand, you know, they've got their own, but they've only got a select few to work with.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So they're doing all right. I'm looking forward to that match on Monday. Looking forward to Battleground. Massimo, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Your debut. It was great.
I
love talking wrestling with you.
Yeah, I could do this anytime you needed me.
All right, great. Sounds good. All right, everybody, that's it for today. I want to thank Massimo for coming on, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks. Okay, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show. I know that the last couple episodes have been like a couple weeks in between. It's just been a really busy summer, and, you know, guests are doing their summer thing. I'm doing my summer thing and working. But listen, I mean it when I've said it before. If you guys have show ideas or things you want to hear about, you know, email them to me and, you know, tweet at me. Again, that's menasal@gmail.com or at FNGeese on Twitter. You can get a hold of me that way. And, I mean, hell, if you guys have my phone number, just text me, too. I don't care. You know, just different show ideas, different things you guys would like to hear about. I hope everybody is going to enjoy their last couple weeks of summer here. I hope to have more episodes here more frequently. Enjoy Battleground. Enjoy the build to SummerSlam. And until next time, talk to you later. Thanks.